proud of and more tickled about. And it shows that over the past 4 years, we have increased the utilization. That is, we've reduced the difference between the seats available and the seats occupied across the university in that way that is shown. This would not have happened without the strong cooperation of faculty, department chairs, and deans. It's a collective success story. So thank you very much.
Chancellor Easter.
Step over here.
I'm conscious that lunch comes next, so I'll be as brief as possible. Over the years at our Urbana campus, we've established through several generations a truly world-class faculty. And I'm absolutely convinced that that came about because of the two elements I'm listing here. It's been an environment that fosters creativity, and it's an environment that sustains excellence. And as we talk about programmatic review, as we talk about administrative review, a beginning principle is that we do not want to compromise our ability to provide this kind of environment. Next slide. Who's in charge of slides? It's been my observation on my career that, first of all, the academic programs begin with individual faculty members. That's the base. Successful faculty members in amazing ways reinvent themselves and change the programs within their own careers as they move forward. And I see colleagues today that 30 years ago were engaged in one kind of activity and today have moved in a very different direction. Next slide. In a similar manner, our campus is an ever-evolving organization. Top-ranked departments stay there not because of what they did in the past, but because they're always evolving to meet the challenges and to attract the absolutely best individuals and intellects to them so they can continue to be top-ranked. We're convinced that it's very difficult to buy excellence. It's very difficult to direct excellence to occur, but in order for it to emerge, one has to nurture it in all the ways absolutely possible. Next. In our programmatic review efforts, they're driven by economic reality, certainly. They're driven by ambitions, the ambitions of our faculty at the departmental and college level. As we go forward and do these reviews, we're concerned about protecting our ability to hire and retain the best, our reputation, our rankings, which are very important to our faculty, is critical to this. We're very concerned about protecting the quality of what we deliver to our students and the access that our students have to that quality through the cost of our programs. We want to be a continuing leader in higher education. Next slide. I want to just speak briefly about financial cost reductions and how we deal with them. I'll say something about central and, if you will, administrative and programmatic costs in a minute. Let me focus just briefly on colleges. About 3 or 4 weeks from now, we'll receive from each of the colleges their detailed plan for next year. And that plan will include an analysis of many of the factors that have been discussed here already through our Division of Management Information. They know the efficiency with which their faculty are teaching, with which their facilities are being used. They bring forward their plans that describe how they will manage the unit in the next year, new initiatives, programs that they will reduce or shut down. We receive those. Dr. Wheeler is Vice Chancellor of Academic Affairs and Provost, and I sat down. There's a campus budget oversight committee that interviews in a 2-3 hour session with each of the deans their plans. They then bring forward to Dr. Wheeler and I the recommendations for the colleges, and then we make differential decisions. And this fiscal year, just to give you some sense of the differentiation, the College of Aces, painfully as it may be, Trustee McMillan had an 11% budget reduction. College of Liberal Arts and Sciences with just about 3%. In the case of LAS, we're attempting to address what had been a structural problem in the construction of their budget. In the case of ACES, we were addressing the reality that a significant part of their budget involves extension and experiment station, both of which should be fully funded by taxpayers and not tuition. Next slide. please. One of the things that we've tried to give our colleges are tools to allow them to manage costs. You're aware that we had a voluntary separation, voluntary retirement program in place this time a year ago. We've reduced our staff by about 400 as a consequence of that. These are people who are not paid by grants, but people who are paid by operating dollars, the state and tuition dollars that we're concerned about. That is giving units, departments particularly, an opportunity to look at programmatic needs and to address them as they come forward with their plans for this year. Next slide, please. We also are concerned about central cost programs that report to the vice chancellors, vice chancellor for research, or vice chancellor for academic affairs. We implement sunset provisions for these centrally funded activities. We continue to focus on things like energy, and our retro commissioning program has literally saved us millions of dollars. I think we've now reduced energy costs by about 17%. We are very much in many of these things align directly with the things that Abhijit has talked about in our service centers in the AR report. We're encouraging colleges to move to service centers for human resources, for purchasing all the things that they need to manage locally. Probably the college that's moved the furthest in that direction is Applied Health Sciences, which is almost completely centered at the college level with the departments utilizing their college resources. Next slide, please. We've eliminated 9 degree programs since 2008. We have this year launched a major review of our doctoral programs. This is being managed by the Dean of the Graduate College. We have just under 100 PhD granting programs on our campus, and they have not been reviewed extensively in a very long time. And if you think about it, they are the core of the academic programs. The undergraduate programs typically align along with the doctoral programs. And we have asked that the dean do 3 things: identify those that are doing just fine in this first cut, and the second category, those that need further review, and then the third category of those that are in trouble. We think before the end of this academic year, we can have that kind of information back, and then make decisions about how we do the next round of program reviews, particularly in those that are in difficulty because of low enrollments or lack of opportunities for grant support. And the case could well be that some of them will need to be brought to closure if that's where we find. Next slide, please. I think President Hogan has mentioned several times our stewarding excellence process. We began this about a year ago. We completed this past year 17 projects. That is, the reviews were complete, recommendations were submitted to us. Next slide, please. We're still in the process of making decisions about several of them. I point out here just a few to speak to. IT at Illinois actually was an initiative that Provost Katehi started about 3 years ago to look comprehensive at our campus IT system. And it, again, dovetails very well into the ARR process that's underway. The opportunities are very real to save significantly with consolidation of many of these functions. The Institute for Aviation is one that we're trying to come to a decision about in the very near future, whether we recommend to the Faculty Senate that it continue or not. It's hard for us to find financial justification. It's a great program. The demand for students is not large, so Police Training Institute is another program that's, in a sense, a commitment to the state. We're subsidizing it currently at something just under $1 million a year. Our decision, which we made, recommended to the president, and he concurred that we should move to shut it down. We've been asked by our area legislators to give them one more opportunity to see if additional funding can be brought to it. And so we delayed implementation of that decision for several months while that process unfolds. One that some are familiar with, University of Illinois Extension, is about a $70 million a year operation. Only about 12 or 14 of those actually flow through the campus. Some comes directly from the state legislature, some comes from federal sources, And for example, here in Cook County, about $1 million is a county board appropriation to support extension locally. Because that is a program that should be funded by taxpayer dollars, not tuition, we reduced it substantially this past year. And you may be aware that there's been a consolidation of many of the units into multiple county units around the state. Next slide. I just wrap up with this one slide. John Bardeen, just to put a name up, our Nobel Prize winner for his work in superconductivity and the discovery of the transistor. But his comment, the combined results of several people working together is often more effective than that could be done of one individual scientist working alone. And that's the case with our programmatic review. It's their conversations and decisions made very locally at department levels. Their decisions made painfully by colleges as they realize that they need to move resources from one area to another as a result of changing opportunities and needs. And then those decisions that we need to take centrally at the campus level. Thank you very much.
Comments or questions for our three chancellors?
I have a couple. First of all, comment. I know we're asking all of you to do a lot and as quickly as possible. Looking at efficiencies, I just want to reiterate what has been said about going as quickly as we can. At a discussion sometime last year on restructuring a program, some of us were surprised at how long it takes to make a change, and I just want to reiterate that the faster the better, obviously realizing we need to be careful as we're doing that. How, when you're doing the metrics that you're looking at, how does the need for online education play into looking at different classes and courses? I assume that would play into what you're looking at.
Right. I can go ahead and comment about that.
The
department's metric represents, in effect, the sum of their instruction that's on ground and online. Now, the challenge is to be able to staff the courses that are needed by the online students and the courses that are needed by the on-ground students. So that's a scheduling challenge that each of the departments that has online degree program faces. But the metrics combine the online and on-ground. And then when it comes to calculating that tuition revenue per dollar of faculty salary, that would recognize the extra amount of money that we get from the tuition premium that's charged to online students.
I assume it also figures into certain courses that would demand a greater emphasis on online education and some that you might eliminate based on, you know, demand for online, or am I correct?
Yes, the departments are having to make choices, and in some cases they are finding that they need to offer, let's say, an online section and can't or aren't able to staff an on-ground section. So sometimes the students will take the online course. Is that what kind of where you're headed with
right.
that? Yeah, it does happen. We try to maintain both the online and on-ground, but at the course level, sometimes the students who are on campus do take the online courses, and they like it because our residential students find that they can increase their course-taking load by an online course that they can do the work for 24/7, you know, at any time during the day or night.
Just have two comments. I think, first of all, that metrics vary from department to department, and some departments the metrics may give significant emphasis to number of students taught. In other areas, it may relate to the grant funds available, and quite frankly, the preeminence of the department, the number of members of the National Academy and their contributions to the intellectual atmosphere of the state and nation. So the metrics vary department to department, and that's one of the challenges that we face. Specifically with reference to online, what we have observed is First of all, online courses need to pay their own way, so there has to be a market. And